Well, well, well. It is Wednesday, I think. We used to be measuring this in days. I mean, how many days this is going to be now? That it's weeks. It's a bit confusing. But very glad to be here on WHPC 90.3. Wednesdays and Fridays between 5 o'clock. I'm your host, Tom Ryan. With me, my lovely wife and co-host.
Heidi Morales Ryan.
That's right. As we are, we're doing this from home in order to keep ourselves entertained, really. And I hope that it's working for you as a little bit of a moment of solace and a chance to enjoy some music. What we're trying to do, of course, we've got two lists that we've been working our way through, the top 500 of the top 40 and the alternative top 40. The first list is a list of popular albums that did make the top 40 over the past, well, since 1964. And the other list is albums that never did chart on the top 40. And it's our intent to more or less focus on the importance of albums, why albums still matter. In today's day and age, obviously, with streaming and downloads and whatnot, there's so many different ways to just hear an artist piecemeal, concentrate on just one song that serves a purpose, of course. But albums are so important to our culture, and they have been for so long. And that to me, it's almost like seeing like art change from like one form to another, and that all of a sudden people stop appreciating the form that existed beforehand. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't work like that. I mean, art is art, and good music is good music. And albums, especially in the way that the songs on the albums relate to one another, are very important. And it's a great way for you to get a sense of history and get the relationship between certain songs. So that's what we're doing. And that's exactly what we're going to do right now. Our album, yay, that we're going to cover, is from the top 500 of the top 40 list. This is album number 137, Heidi. We've done 136 of these so far.
Wow, we're good.
And this is just the top 500. Yeah, we're moving along.
And I love this album, actually.
Yeah, May 1971. It was held from the number one spot. It stopped at number two. But the album is Ram by Paul and Linda McCartney. Now, you love the album, you said, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I hear it now, and I got to admit, I love it too. But in the beginning, going solo was not easy for Paul McCartney, man. The Beatles broke up, and his first album was a raw, homemade affair. We played it a few shows ago, the McCartney album, or the Bowl of Cherries album. And that album got trashed by the critics, who were shocked that a Beatle, especially Paul, the one who seemed the most organized and together, would release something only half-baked. So he decided to revise his methods for the next album, hoping to meet the expectations of his audience and to silence his critics. Instead of doing the album all by himself, he hired a band for this one.
Hmm.
He rehearsed them, and he even used a proper studio. Then, when the product was done, he sat back and waited for acknowledgement. Instead, though, the critics howled even louder. They called this album insipid. They called it spineless.
Yikes.
They called it monumentally irrelevant. Or some of the not less verbose ones simply called it a bad record. Little did we know at the time that this would be the best that we would ever get from Paul McCartney.
Really?
Oh, man. Either the critics were monumentally cruel or time forced a radical change in perspective. Because a few years after, Ram started to sound really good, especially in comparison to everything else that was happening, especially if you compare it to Paul's subsequent work. I mean, for better or worse, this album is Paul McCartney's solo magnum opus, or at least among his solo top three. I don't think there's almost anybody that would argue with that. What a difference a few decades make. So let's dive in and find out what we think. Is this album now, I mean, the reason I think that people like it is that because of all the indie releases that have started to come out and albums that were sort of fragmented and piecemeal, it makes this album sound better and better as time goes by. And now this sounds downright inspirational. So let's get right to it. From the album Ram by Paul and Linda McCartney, here is the opening track on American Net Radio, 90.3 WHPC, entitled Too Many People. Tell you what, I mean, that's a great song. I love hearing that now. It just sounds so strong. But critics weren't the only ones that had a problem with this album. The three Beatles hated it when it came out. They all had something to say, and they all were seeing like hidden messages in the lyrics. The relationship between Paul and the other three Beatles at this point in time really couldn't have been much worse. He went one way, the three of them went the other. George and Ringo, like, siding with John, and Paul was definitely the odd man out. So when Paul is singing Too Many People, and he's singing lines like, too many people, like, preaching practices. Don't let them tell you what you gotta do. John was like, he's singing about me. That SOB is singing about me. And he got really angry about it. You took your lucky break and broke it in two. There's rumor that the original lyric was Yoko took your lucky break and broke it in two. So, and that's the way that the Beatles heard it. Frankly, that's the way that they were listening to it. And the cover of the album, if you look at the back cover, it's just like, it's a bit of a mess. It's just a bunch of photos and drawings and sketches and stuff. And there's a seemingly innocuous photo of two bugs, one of them literally mounting the other. And if you think about it, they're Beatles. And it's Paul saying, this is what I feel that the Beatles are doing to me. I am getting screwed by the Beatles. And he just put it on the cover, and the fight was on pretty much at this point. In fact, Ringo said that he thought that much of the album was written about the rest of them. This next track is called Three Legs, and they interpreted it as saying, without Paul, the Beatles have got three legs to stand on, because it was everybody but him. Mm-hmm. On American Radio, 90.3 WHBC, here is Three Legs.
Well, when I walk, me still. A dog is here. A dog is here. A dog is there. But mine got one.
Now to think that there was ever any problem with critics on this album, because to me, the performances are strong. Paul sounds great. The song arrangements are fun. And it sounds like Paul seems more emotionally invested in this record than almost anything that he's ever done in his solo career. There's a lot of like attitude in it. And that just, to me, makes it rich. Well, the next track coming up is actually the I guess you could call it the glue that holds the album together. Again, talking about albums and their own importance, this is this next little bit kind of helps to prove that. It's called Ram On One, because it's really just a simple theme that Paul uses to hold the album together. And it goes into a song called Dear Boy that John felt was about him also. It turns out, though, Paul came out outright and stated, no, it's actually me writing to Linda, my wife's ex-husband. So there you have it. On American Radio 90.3 WHPC, here is Ramon into Dear Boy. Understand why John might have thought that that was about him.
But just goes to show that songs can be interpreted so many ways.
Yeah, it's pretty plain though that that is about Linda's first husband to me. You don't know what you've missed, you know, blah, 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 all that. Well, anyway, if you go back to the last time the Beatles were in the recording studio together when they made the album Abbey Road that finished out their career, it was Paul who was working overtime to try so hard to pull the band together. And he did all that work on side two of the album, particularly what I guess the section that's now called the Sun King medley with Polythene Pam and She Came In Through the Bathroom Window, Carry That Weight, The End, all of that. That was like Paul working to get all of these bits and pieces that were just lying around. John had the unfinished material, things like, you know, Polythene Pan, Mean Mr. Mustard, that really wouldn't have gone anywhere on their own. But thrown into this medley, it became really one of the most interesting and strikingly beautiful things that the Beatles had ever put out. Paul learned a lesson from that. And now in his solo career, he started to do, well, he employed the exact same idea to the single that he released from this album that became a huge hit around the world. The song to this day remains like pretty much, I guess, the focal point of this album, for better or worse, but it absolutely employs the same idea of taking pieces of songs that Paul had lying around and assembling them into this blend that was much more interesting than the sum of its parts. On American Radio 90.3 WHBC, here is Uncle Albert, Admiral Halsey.
I'm so sorry, Uncle Albert. We're so sorry if we caused you any pain. We're so sorry, Uncle Albert. But there's no one left at home, and I believe I'm gonna rain. We're so sorry, but we haven't heard a thing all day. We're so sorry, Uncle Albert. But if anything should happen, we'll be sure to give a ring.
Yes, sir.
back to back there, we heard two of the key tracks from the album. Uncle Albert, Admiral Halsey, of course, that was the hit single, followed by Smile Away, the song that finished side one of the album, I think on a really strong note. To me, that's a great side note. You hear that?
Yeah.
It's just a fun album, right? You know,
yeah,
it just makes you laugh. But let's review some of the critics now. Rolling Stone, John Landau, writing for Rolling Stone. He's the guy that coined the phrase monumentally irrelevant for this album.
Wow.
Quoted as basically, he criticized it for its lack of intensity and energy. Did he just hear that last song? He basically said that the album exposed McCartney as having benefited immensely from collaboration with John Lennon, who held the reins on McCartney's cutesy pie forward attempts at pure rock muzak and kept him from going off the deep end.
Ouch.
That leads to an album as emotionally vacuous as Ram.
Wow.
Now, there were plenty of albums coming up by Paul McCartney that you could use that exact same review.
Yes.
And it would still hold true. I mean, plenty, maybe more than a dozen of them that you could say vacuous. But now, in retrospect, it's like, these guys were listening to the wrong record. 4 years after the album came out, writing for NME, Roy Carr and Tony Tyler had a column, and they wrote, quote, this is 4 years after the album came out. It would be naive to have expected the McCartneys to produce anything other than a mediocre record.
Wow.
Grisly though this was, McCartney was to sink lower before rescuing his credibility late in 1973. There's a lot of hate going around.
Yeah.
Whew. Okay, let's flip over the record and go to side two, starting with McCartney playing a country song, more or less. On American Radio 90.3, WHBC, here's Heart of the Country.
I look high, I look low, I'm looking everywhere I go, looking for a home in the heart of the country. I'm gonna move, I'm gonna go, I'm gonna tell everyone I know, looking for a home in the heart of the country.
All right. Now, there we've heard two completely distinct sides, distinctive sides of Paul McCartney's style. If nothing else, to me, what the album, this album does is it highlights the myriad voices that this man possesses. He can have that incredibly deep rocking voice that he used on Helter Skelter, or that, you know, the really light-hearted, like whispery voice that he can summon on Heart of the Country. And back to back, there they are.
Right.
And yet the Beatles hated it. Like, Lennon hated it so much that he based a lot of the songs on his next album reacting to this album. He wrote a song called How Do You Sleep?
John Lennon's motivation half of the time.
Anger.
Was anger.
Yeah, yeah. And this is anger. He's like, he wrote, you know, the songs you make is Muzak to my ears. And he wrote a song called How Do You Sleep at Night? And you know, that's how much he was hating
vitriol.
The vitriol that he had for McCartney was intense. He wrote a song, you know, you just can't hide when you're crippled inside. These are songs about his songwriting partner, McCartney.
Wow.
And it all came about by this album. This is a direct quote from Ringo Starr. I just find this incredible. He goes, "I feel sad about Paul's albums. I don't think there's one good tune on the last one, Ram. He seems to be going a bit strange."
Whoa.
So there you have it. All right, Heidi, bring in the next song.
Well, the next song, I think, is appropriate for these times that we're in. Actually, Eat at Home. There you are.
On 90.3 WHPC.
Come on, little lady, lay your blessing in bed.
Wow.
Okay, so there we heard back-to-back Eat at Home, followed by Long-Haired Lady, which is also coincidentally the longest song on the album. Okay, so obviously, you know, this album is so good now, and yet, as we had pointed out, so terribly maligned in its time, which is why I beg y'all as listeners, celebrate albums. Enjoy these things. I mean, you hear these songs back-to-back, and it makes a serious point. Look, we're in a very odd and uncomfortable situation. We all know that. Here's an idea, just for the fun of it, while home. Try to make a point of listening to one entire album each day. Okay, you listen to this show, you already did it. You heard this entire album. But do it on your own. Do a little bit of exploration. You'll be amazed what you might learn and what you might discover. That's Thanks right. so much for staying tuned in. And we'll see you on Friday at 5 p.m. and, of course, next Wednesday as well. Be safe. Be careful. We love you. And thanks for listening to American Radio on 90.3 WHPC.
Sitting in the back seat of my car.